This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Saturday, May 13, 2017. The Centennial of Our Lady of Fatima, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Blessed is she who believed. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be accepted in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Blessed is she who believed that what the Lord said to her would be fulfilled. Blessed is she who believed. We esteem and venerate her because she believed. We are in the 100th anniversary of the visitation, again, of our Blessed Mother. Our Blessed Mother has acted just like that, a mother, and visited her children as was necessary through time to tell them of her Son, to point them in the direction of her Son. We can get lost occasionally, for those particularly who have a veneration to the Blessed Virgin, to kind of lose sight of things, I think. It's just our human nature when we go to church and we hear church things all the time. We hear concepts and things. We have this tendency to disassociate foundations. The foundation of what we celebrate today is the foundation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, there have been extremes on both ends of the spectrum when it comes to veneration of the Blessed Virgin Mary. There have been those who have gone into basically hyper-Marian mode, where they don't pay any attention to our Savior. The Church has always been mindful of such folks and has suppressed groups in the past. I mean, legally suppressed them when there's this unhealthy and unscriptural emphasis on the Blessed Mother over the Lord Jesus Christ. There are even more who have a tendency to show contempt for, but even more so probably just to show indifference to our Blessed Mother. They are both absolutely wrong. We have to approach our Blessed Mother for who she is and what she has done for us, but even more so, what our Lord Jesus Christ has willed to do through his Blessed Virgin Mother. Most of us have consecrated our lives and our ministries to the Blessed Virgin Mary. These acts of consecration, these celebrations of days and feasts of the Blessed Virgin, we have to understand that it is again about the will of her Son through her, is why we esteem and venerate her so. There's probably no author that's ever written, put pen to paper, venerating our Blessed Mother is St. Louis de Montfort. True devotion to our Blessed Mother, consecration to the Blessed Virgin. I never suggest St. Louis to new Catholics or people who are investigating Catholicism, because it's like for them drinking out of a fire hose. He could have this tendency to be a little bit much with the Mary thing. But we also have this tendency to just, when we open a book, to jump into the meat of it. We want to see the good stuff. You know, let's move on to chapter one. What's he got to say? You never want to lose sight of the introduction that St. Louis gives about the Blessed Virgin Mary. St. Louis says about the Blessed Virgin Mary, and this is St. Louis speaking, I'm not denigrating. He says about the Blessed Virgin, he says, being a mere creature in the hands of the Most High, she is, in comparison with his divine majesty, less than an atom. Like, whoa, why would St. Louis say something like, because it's true. Our Lord is the creator of all things. He spoke and everything leapt into existence. Every creature is just so much what he made. No matter how exalted they may be, she is a part of the creaturely realm. So St. Louis sets the stage in the very first thing he says about her. Focus on God. focus on God. I'm going to esteem and venerate His Blessed Mother, but first focus on God. Because God, He's independent. He's self-sufficient. He never had, nor does He now have, any absolute necessity or need to use any creature to do anything He wants. He's God. He spoke and all things leapt into existence out of nothing. He didn't need any help. He didn't even have stuff with which to work. He just spoke and it was. That's God. He speaks and His will is done. An awesome thought. Not to use the word awesome in the colloquial sense, but truly awe-inspiring thought. That there is a being, our God, who just wills and it is. But consider this as we focus on the Blessed Virgin Mary. If His will is, as I just described, again, unnecessary for Him to use anything outside, how should we esteem and venerate one of His creatures that He used for nothing less than our very salvation? That's why we esteem and venerate the Blessed Mother, because she was used by God in His will for our redemption. She set the foundation. She was the doorway from heaven. God's will never changes. He didn't use the Blessed Virgin Mary at the incarnation and then say, okay, you were the doorway. Jesus came in it. Now, okay, just stand aside. Let Him do His Jesus thing. No. Another aspect and characteristic of our Lord is that He never changes. He is without change. There is no, as we read in St. Jude, there is no, with Him, variableness of change. So if He had this plan to use His Virgin Mother for our redemption, it's not going to change. He has used it in the incarnation and He will continue to use it. So it's all about what God will to do through His Blessed Mother. Focus your attention on two things. One, and this is more historical, but it sets the foundation for us when we think of the Blessed Virgin. God willed to use the Blessed Virgin, as I said, as nothing less than the source of the incarnation, which is our redemption. We don't go to heaven without God coming into this world. God's people have always known that. For thousands of years before the Blessed Virgin Mary even was born, the patriarchs, the saints of the Old Testament, the prophets, all the priests, all the kings, they prayed constantly, without ceasing, for the redemption of the people of God. Without ceasing. How many prayers is that? Thousands of years, hundreds of thousands of people praying for something. Well, when God answers that prayer, that's going to be tremendous as a gross understatement. How did He answer that prayer? Through a young girl, a young poor girl. When the Archangel Gabriel appeared to Mary and announced the coming of the Savior, get your head around that one. Some 15-year-old poor girl gains the merits of every one of those prayers of which I just spoke. She was a recipient of those prayers. She was the answer to all those prayers. How could you ever look away from that? How could you ever think that, that was just for then? To think that she is the answer to the prayers of all those holy people from the Old Testament. She merited those prayers because it was our Lord's will. When our Lord came on the scene, okay, He's born, He's incarnate. Now, again, Mary, you can just step aside, let Him do His Jesus. Every time He does His Jesus thing, particularly it's really huge, the Blessed Mother is there. When people are looking for Him, the shepherds, the wise men, it never just says in Scripture, and they found Jesus. It says, and they found the young child and his mother. The Holy Spirit doesn't put things in Scripture just because, or to fill up some space, because space in Scripture is very limited. When our Lord began to do miracles in this world, and even when you look at the miracle, this isn't really technically a miracle, is in a sense, but not as we generally know. The gospel reading today. Mary walks into the house of Zechariah and greets Elizabeth, and it says, and the babe leapt in her womb. Why did the babe leap in her womb? Because he was sanctified at that moment. He became sinless at that moment. That's why John the Baptist is one of the three people we in the church liturgically, we actually celebrate his birthday, his human birthday. Why? Because he was sanctified. Every other saint, their birthday is when they died, because that's when they were sanctified. St. John the Baptist was sanctified in his mother's womb. And it was because of, it was, we read in Scripture, the salutation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, her presence with Zechariah and with St. Elizabeth. The changing of the water into wine at the wedding of Cana. That was at the behest of the Blessed Virgin Mary. She actually brings it up, and, woman, it's not my time. What does she do? Does she argue with our Lord? No. She looks at the servants and says, do what he tells you. That is the Blessed Virgin's message to us, in a nutshell. Do what he tells you. That's what she's all about. But he uses her to tell us that. The Blessed Virgin Mother allowed Jesus Christ to do things that God cannot do. God can do everything. No, he can't. He could not die because he's God. He's infinite. If he could die, he wouldn't be God. God doesn't cry because he is impassible. He has no passions. He is just always righteous, always just, always merciful. He can't do these things. Our Blessed Virgin Mother, through her fiat, enabled God to hunger, to get tired, to live a sinless life when he was tempted, to cry, and to die. God doesn't die for... This is a conundrum for God. God doesn't have conundrums. It's a conundrum for us to think about it in terms of God. The only way these people can get to heaven because of the fall is for God to die for them. God can't die. How do we fix this? He's got to be flesh. Blessed Virgin Mary, and she gives her fiat. She gives him flesh. She enables him to die, because without her, you don't go to heaven. We read in the Creed that our Lord, in the new version that we read in the Roman Missal, third edition, consubstantial with the Father, or as it says in the older version, of one substance with the Father. If that is a theological truth, and God is 100% God and 100% man, he has to be consubstantial with the Father, but also consubstantial with his mother. That takes care of that 100% man part. The Blessed Virgin Mary enabled God to be man. We don't think about this one too much. She actually, by her fiat, allowed the Holy Spirit, not allowed, again, got to watch our words, but we are fallible and we are limited in how we can express things. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. The Son is begotten of the Father. Nobody proceeds or is begotten by the Holy Spirit. He never creates. That's not his role in the economy of the Trinity. The Blessed Virgin Mary, by her fiat, allowed the Holy Spirit to create, because he is the one that overshadowed her, and our Lord Jesus Christ came into existence. The Holy Spirit created the flesh and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. She in the incarnation still works, because every time a sinner comes to repentance, they are born anew, as we read in John chapter 3 and other places. They are new creations because of her fiat. So he uses her in the incarnation, but another thing he does, and this is present tense and future tense, and it's because God wills this. God wishes to make use of the Blessed Virgin Mary in our sanctification, or our being made holy. This is that whole intercession thing. Jesus Christ is as much the Son of Mary right at this very moment until the end of time. He is as much the Son of the Virgin Mary as he was in the manger. The Blessed Virgin Mary is always his mother. The scriptures tell us that he was subject to her. That doesn't mean she lorded it over him, but it means their relationship is integral. And just like he was her son then, he's her son now, and sons listen to their mother. When we ask the Blessed Virgin Mary, because she is the Immaculate One, she will never ask him remiss. She will never ask him anything outside of his will. She will always ask for us in accord with his will. That's why we need her as an intercessor, because we don't work like that. We want what we want, how we want it, when we want it. That's not how it's supposed to work. We want it the way God wants it. And when we ask our Blessed Mother's intercession, she asks him to answer us in accord with his will. But we don't need intercessors. Yes, we do. Everybody always love our Protestant friends. There's only one mediator between God and man. That's the man Christ Jesus. That is exactly true. I didn't say one word about a mediator. I said intercessor. Because intercessor is used a couple verses later, talking about two different things. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, but there are a bunch of intercessors. We intercede for one another. If Moses, who upset God so bad that he didn't get to go to the promised land, if Moses can by his prayer curb the wrath of God when he was going to end his people, I'm cutting them off and I'm going to start over again. Moses, in all his frailty, please don't, please. And he answered Moses. You think he's going to answer Moses anymore or even close to how he'll answer his mother? That's why you need to use our Blessed Mother as an intercessor, because you are part of the family. That second reading today, the Holy Spirit tells us through St. Paul that we are not slaves anymore. We're not just sons, but we're our heirs of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're parts of his family. You know, we have a feast day for the Holy Family. We speak of the Holy Family. We all have images of the Holy Family. And we lose sight of that, I think, sometimes that we are part of that family. Literally. Families stick together and families do things one for another. Our families imperfectly, the Holy Family righteously and justly and mercifully. And that's a part of the family which we want to appeal. Yeah, we can have our family members here praying for us, but we want our Heavenly Mother first and foremost praying for us. This is why we esteem and venerate the Blessed Virgin Mary, because of what our God wills through her. That's why we esteem and venerate her. On the other side of that coin, and I'll leave you with this one, it is an infallible sign. An infallible sign of a heretic or a man who holds false doctrine or a reprobate, and reprobate means one who's going to hell. The infallible sign of any one of those things is indifference toward or contempt for the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's an infallible sign of that. We have to appreciate that. Esteem and veneration for the Blessed Mother is the doorway to heaven. It was a doorway to heaven coming down, and it will be the doorway to heaven to go back. The other side of the coin, again, is an infallible sign that you are not heading toward that doorway. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.